Kind of like you enlisting Floyd to conspire with you against me, huh?
We were about to have a serious argument, and we both recognized that.
He was not ready to drop it. For the last time, Tevin, I asked Floyd and Courtney to give me time and allow me the opportunity to tell you when I was ready. There was never a single moment in time when you wouldn't have known about our child. Abortion never crossed my mind, and I would never have raised your child without you playing a significant role in their upbringing. You're one of the most loving men, persons, that I've ever met, and my child is blessed to have you as their father. Even if we never got back together, it was a given that you would be ever present.
Tevin sat up on the edge of the armchair and reached for me. I scooted over on the sofa so he couldn't.
No, let me finish my thought. On the flip side, what you told me is completely different. Are you going to sit here and say that, sans you spilling the proverbial beans, that Floyd was eventually going to tell Courtney that he's fucking around on her?
Tevin sighed. No, I guess not.
Exactly.
I paused.
How long has he been cheating and with how many women?
Why would you want to know all that? Isn't that making it worse? He asked and sat back, settling into the cushions.
That'll only give you more information you have to cover up. I don't have to cover up a damn thing. I'm not sure why you would think that I would.
He went into a panic and loosened his tie.
It's not our place to interfere in their marriage, Gemistry. How long and how many?
You said that you'd never lie to me.
Like a bad defense attorney, you've introduced this evidence into the mix, so now you have to give me full disclosure.
Are you serious?
Yes. Tevin, here's your chance to prove that you're not a liar. I should be upset about the fact that you've been co-signing on his behavior and then going over to their house and smiling all up in Courtney's face. That says a lot about you, and it's nothing nice.
Tevin practically catapulted out of the chair then.
Hold up.
He started pacing the floor with an attitude.
I hope you're not trying to imply that I'm the navigator of Floyd's dick.
That's not what I'm implying at all. What I am saying is that you always pride yourself on what you will or will not do to a woman, me in particular. And yet, you've been apparently idly sitting by while Floyd not only dicks down various women, but risks the health of his wife in the process.
I stood up as well. All this shit being spread around today, and he's fucking random broads? He could bring anything home to her, and you think that's cool?
Hell no, I don't think it's cool. I'm the one who's been telling Floyd he needs to stop before the shit catches up to him. I've warned him over and over that he needs to grow the fuck up and do the right thing.
And what did he say?
Tevin crossed his arms in defiance.
As of late, all he was doing was boasting about the fact that you dumped me over something that I never did, and that he was doing him, and that Courtney worships the ground he walks on regardless.
That's because Courtney doesn't know he's a filthy, mangled mutt.
Actually, according to him, he's an Alaskan Malamute.
An Alaskan what?
Tevin walked over to me and took me in his arms. I don't want us to fight about this. What they're doing has nothing to do with us.
They're our friends, I reminded him.
Yes, but they're grown friends and we have to stay out of it.
I looked up at him. Are you asking me not to tell?
I'm asking you to really think about what doing that will accomplish. As of today, I'm not even feeling Floyd like that. We may eventually be able to be friends again, now that I've calmed down and can see it from another perspective. But even if we do start hanging out again, you telling Courtney will only make matters 10 times worse. If she's content, let the woman be happy. They have 4 kids. If she divorces him, it'll affect them in the long run.
And if he gives her HIV or some lunatic broad shows up on their doorstep to confront her because he refuses to leave her and attacks her, how will that affect the children?
Tevin chuckled. You and your imagination. It's not going to go that far. The STD concern is valid.
and I would hope Floyd's not irresponsible enough to fuck women raw. But as far as him lying and telling a chick that he's in love or leaving his wife, he's definitely not that reckless. I don't know all of his comings and goings, but the ones from work that I know about are only interested in getting fucked. I pushed him away from me. How the fuck do you know all that? I thought. How do you know that's what they want? Have they come on to you? Chemistry. I'm a young, successful, black surgeon in the DMV. Women try to get my attention. You know that. But you didn't have to do that, because I tried to get your attention. And since the night we met, you're all I ever think about. I tried to fight it, but I blushed. All I want you to concentrate on, baby, is feeding my baby, loving me, and deciding which bedroom you want to turn into the nursery. That's all you need to be concerned about. Why bring any unnecessary drama into our lives? We've had enough of it while we're trying to establish our future. I had to give it to him. He did make a valid argument. Telling Courtney about Floyd cheating would be the equivalent of throwing an alligator into a swimming pool full of people. Let me tell you something about Floyd, Tevin continued. Not in his defense, but to explain a little about his crazy behavior. There is no defense or legit excuse for him cheating.
I agree.
All I'm saying is that I recognized something about him a long time ago. We all have flaws, but one of Floyd's biggest ones is being born with such a ridiculous ego. He thinks so highly of himself, which makes it both a blessing and a curse. He's successful because he always knew he would be, and no one would have been able to convince him otherwise, even if they'd had the audacity to try. He takes care of himself physically because he believes that he's godlike material, so he'll never succumb to any kind of addiction. Not alcohol, not drugs, and not pussy, I ask sarcastically.
No, definitely not that, Tevin sighed.
Floyd's wilding out because he believes that's what men are supposed to do. He grew up in a family where he was told that's what men do. His father and uncles told him that he was supposed to get a wife, buy a house, father some children, and always have some backup action. So what you're trying to say is that Floyd is a victim of circumstance. I laughed. You can miss me with all of that. He's a typical man. That's the point. In his world, he's only being typical. And is that typical in your world, Tevin?
Chemistry, you have a lot of trust issues. I get that. And what happened with Winston's crazy ass didn't help. But I'm not fucking around on you. I can't make you believe it, but I hope that I'm not going to have to go through this kind of speculation on the regular. I want us to have a long, peaceful life together. That's it. That's all.
I decided to lighten up the mood. You know, being pregnant has heightened my senses. I pointed to my vagina. Especially down there.
What do you mean, especially down there?
I've been playing with myself a lot more lately. Tevin chuckled.
You don't need to play with yourself. You have me.
I pouted. Why can't I have the best of both worlds?
He doesn't get it.
I was thinking, maybe we can make love with a device inside of me.
A device? You want me to share you with a big-ass vibrator or a dildo?
First off, I have not seen a vibrator or dildo that can give your elephantine dick a run for its money.
We both laughed.
I'm talking about a bullet. I'll stick it in, turn it on, and then you can bang my pussy out while it turns us both out.
Tevin looked appalled. I'm not using a sex toy.
Why not?
Because I love you.
I giggled.
You have completely lost me.
I waved my hand toward the ceiling. That went way over my head.
Let me school you on something about men, baby. All that freaky shit in the bedroom is cool. Food play, role play, whips, chains, blindfolds, all kinds of shit. But to ask a man to share you with a sex toy steps over the line. Men will do that with women they are just fucking. It is what it is. But when a man loves a woman, he wants to feel like he can satisfy her all by himself. Asking me to be up inside of you with a bullet is like asking me to be up in you with another man's dick. I fell out laughing.
You are completely shot out. That is the craziest thing that I've ever heard.
It's crazy to you because you're a female. What if I asked you to let me put a female blow-up doll next to us in bed so I could go back and forth between the two of you? Or even if I pulled out of you and started jacking myself off, how would that make you feel?
I stood there pondering what he had just said. He may have been onto something.
I see your reasoning, kind of. However, women are supposed to use sex toys.
Says who?
Tevin stared at me.
Exactly. Women making excuses for using a bunch of sex toys and saying that they're for variety is like men saying that they go out and fuck other women for variety. Those are merely attempts to justify wanting to do what you want to do regardless.
Again, he had a point.
I had never thought of it that way. Men did often claim that they cheated because their wives or girlfriends weren't giving them what they needed at home. A lot of women cheated as well, but Tevin's theory about sex toys being a substitute for a man's dick was valid. Then again, a lot of women weren't getting any dick on the regular. They still needed to relieve some stress.
I see where you're coming from, but on the real, a lot of women get used to utilizing toys during dick droughts. When they get a man, they still use them because they're a part of their lifestyle at that point. It's part of their routine, like getting a manicure and pedicure every other weekend, or getting their hair done every week, or working out at the gym 3 days a week. At least they're not fucking someone else.
Tevin took me into his arms and slobbered me down. I felt his dick harden against my midriff.
I pulled away.
What's gotten into you?
Hell, all this talk about fucking inanimate objects inside your pussy, inside my pussy. Of course I'm horny now.
He pecked me on the lips.
Aren't you?
I grinned and started taking off my clothes.
Baby, I was born horny. I turned, ran to the foyer and up the steps.
Last one to the bedroom has to perform oral sex first.
Tevin was rushing behind me and then slowed down.
Well, shit. Let me take my time. I'm starving.
Chapter 28. Being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. Lao Tzu. It was my birthday, September 18th. Tevin planned to take me out to dinner later that night, but we were doing something a little different. He had paid about $400 to sign us up for a couple's cooking class at Culinary on 14th Street in downtown D.C. I was excited. We were going to make some surf and turf and then eat what we had prepared. It was great to have a man who loved to cook. An added bonus. It was the third Wednesday of the month, and as usual, both the students and faculty were complaining about it being hump day. I had always wondered if the hump day phenomenon was as bad in other cities or whether it was because Washington, D.C. had so many federal government workers. To me, Wednesdays were simply another day of the week. Maybe it was because I enjoyed my job. If I were doing something I despised, I probably would have been doing a weekend countdown as well. Maybe that was the defining factor. People only worried about celebrating or dreading Wednesdays, depending on whether they were a glass half full or a glass half empty type of person, when they didn't feel happy in their careers. I was delighted to be a principal. Ever since I was a child, I had always wanted to be an educator. I had taught English after getting my master's and then moved my way up the food chain until the superintendent took a liking to me and made me an assistant principal first. In 2010, he had promoted me to principal when the previous principal at Medgar Evers retired after nearly 40 years of service. We had a guest speaker that day, a former student, Lee Ricci, who had recently registered the patent for a new digital platform that had quite a buzz surrounding it. Many experts predicted that it would one day rival Google or Internet Explorer. He was major, and everyone was very proud of him. He was under 25 and on track to become a billionaire by the time he hit 30. He gave an amazing and motivational speech, followed by greeting students individually in the auditorium. The baby was kicking inside of me like crazy. While uncomfortable, I loved it all the same. The experience of carrying a fetus in my belly was one that I could not describe before I actually went through it. I was getting more and more nervous and overwhelmed with the thought of being responsible for the life of another human being. Forever. "Mr. Ricci, that was phenomenal," I told him as I walked him out of the chaos toward the flight of stairs leading down to my office. "We are so proud of you here at Medgar Evers. You're one of our most accomplished alumni."
"People can say what they want about D.C. public schools," he replied. "I was given a great education, and I want to make sure that youth understand it is up to them to use opportunities presented to them instead of wasting them."
I nodded my head as I felt the little one kicking inside my belly. As you can imagine, every day is a challenge when it comes to trying to keep thousands of students under control and interested in school.
"I can do more than imagine it. I remember it."
We both laughed.
"Add on all the new technology and distractions, I'm sure you have to keep things creative," he added.
"Indeed, it's hard to compete with iPhones, Androids, and tablets, and threatening to confiscate them does very little. The kids are not going to leave them at home, and when they're bored in class, the temptation to log on to something can be overwhelming."
"Are the classrooms here equipped with the latest computerized learning gadgets?"
"Is that a trick question?" I giggled. "We barely have up-to-date textbooks."
"Well, I'd like to donate whatever you need."
I was stunned. "Are you serious?"
"Yes, very. It's the least I can do."
"Thank you so much. I can't believe you'd..." That's when it happened. I felt a sharp pain in the left side of my back as two male students pushed past us on the steps. Next thing I knew, I was losing my footing and falling. Mr. Ricci tried to grab me, but he couldn't hold on to my arm. I toppled down the flight of steps, hit my head, and passed out as I heard several people yelling out my name and saw Mr. Ricci and Lily Beth running toward me. I woke up in the hospital under what seemed like 10,000 watt light bulbs on the ceiling. As my eyes adjusted, I could feel the IV needle in my arm and was grateful that I wasn't dead. The bars were raised on the sides of the bed so I wouldn't topple out, and I heard Lilybeth whispering to someone in the distance. My mouth was extremely dry, and I was sore all over. "You fell down a flight of fucking steps," I reminded myself. "The baby." My left arm, the one without the IV, instinctively dropped to my stomach. I still had a little pouch there, but I panicked. I didn't feel the baby moving. I attempted to speak, but nothing came out, so I rattled one of the bed rails to get someone's attention. Lilybeth and a nurse appeared in my range of view within seconds. "She's awake," Lilybeth exclaimed, and then leaned over me, staring into my eyes. "Gemistry, can you hear me?" I nodded and held my hand up to point at my throat. The nurse said, "She has cotton mouth. Let me get her some ice water. I'll be right back and I'll alert Dr. Horton that she's awake." The nurse left the room and I realized that I was at Providence Hospital where Dr. Horton practiced. Thank goodness the school was in the correct zone for the ambulance and that Lilybeth remembered his name from making my appointments with him over the years prior to my pregnancy. I had been making the prenatal ones myself over the summer months. I had confided in her about my pregnancy the week before. She giggled and said that she had already suspected. Her exact words were, "I know more about your mannerisms and eating habits than you probably know about yourself. You've been having me order some interesting food choices for your lunches since school started back up. Plus, you have that glow." Everyone kept talking about the pregnancy glow. I couldn't see it. I was quite sure that I was not glowing at the moment. I clamped my eyes shut and said a silent prayer to God not to take my child away from me, not to take another child away from Tevin. "The two students that knocked you down need to be expelled," Lily Beth said. "That was inexcusable." I shook my head and tried to get the word accident out of my windpipe. It came out as something unrecognizable. The nurse returned with a pitcher full of ice water. "Dr. Horton has been paged. He'll be here in less than 5 minutes." She poured some water into a plastic cup and then raised the bed so I was sitting up enough to drink. There was an excruciating pain in my lower back. Once the water hit the back of my throat, I coughed, but it felt like I could function again. I cleared my throat. "It was an accident, Lily Beth. Donald and Leon didn't mean to push me down the stairs. There was a lot going on today, and they were simply trying to make it to their next class on time. We should have delayed the fourth period bell." Lily Beth took a seat in the chair beside the bed. "Leave it to you to try to make excuses for those kids, even today. You're always looking out for them." "That's my job. And they're both good kids. Good grades, honor roll students. I'm not about to expel them and ruin their chances at making it because of an accident. Accidents happen all the time." I really wanted to ask Lily Beth if they had said anything to her about the baby, but I was too afraid. From the expression on her face, it didn't appear that they had delivered such distressing news to her. She was not good at hiding her emotions. I knew that from experience. The nurse was jotting my vitals down on my chart and had broken out a thermometer to take my temperature. Before she could stick it in, I asked Lily Beth, "Has anyone called Tevin?" While the thermometer was in my mouth, she responded, "Yes, I did. He was in surgery, but they said they'd give him the message the second he was done. I asked them to disrupt, but..." The nurse removed the thermometer in time for me to interrupt her. "No, they can't bother him while he's in surgery. It'll be fine. He'll be here." Dr. Horton entered the room and smiled at me. I felt a sense of relief. My baby was alive. 2 hours later, Tevin came bolting through the door of my hospital room. Before he could even say anything, I assured him, "The baby's fine." He came over and laid his head on my stomach and embraced me, kissed my stomach, and then moved up and kissed my forehead. "It's okay, baby," I said, caressing the back of his head. "I fell, but everything's all right." He stood and walked to the end of the bed, grabbed my chart, and started flipping through it, his eyes speed-reading the pages. He had yet to say a single word. Dr. Horton said that I was lucky. He's going to have to monitor things and wants me to start coming in to see him weekly, at least for the next month or so. His silence was beginning to frighten me. "Tevin, did you hear what I said?" "Tevin." He looked up from the chart. "Sorry, sweetheart. I'm a little overwhelmed at the moment." He set the chart down. "Everything looks good. They did a sonogram?" "Two of them. One when I was still knocked out and another when I was awake." I paused to consider whether or not I should elaborate. I decided he needed to know everything. "At first, I didn't feel the baby kicking, but the little sucker is moving around now. I'll ask them to see the film." "Yes, you can do that, but there is something you should know before you see it." He came over and took my hand into his. "What? Is something wrong with the baby?" "No, he's fine," That's good because he.
Yes, he. Even though we decided not to find out, it was kind of obvious this time around. Little man looks like he's going to be hung like his father. Tevin chuckled.
You could see his dick?
Oh, yeah. Couldn't miss it this time. Congratulations, Tevin Harris Sr.
We're going to name him after me?
I shrugged. I assume that is what you'd want, don't you?
I'm not sure. I kind of want him to have his own identity. But then again, it would be great to have my name carry on.
I brought his hand to my lips and kissed it. It's a great name. He has a lot to live up to.
I say we go for it.
No point in breaking out baby name books or doing internet searches when the perfect name already exists for him.
Tevin grinned from ear to ear. Did they say how long you have to stay in here?
At least until tomorrow morning. I'm glad that I didn't break anything. My ankle's going to be sore for a few days and my lower back. All in all, I took that flight of steps like a trooper.
Tevin frowned, probably envisioning the horrific fall in his mind. So what exactly happened?
We had a guest speaker today, a former student. I was walking him downstairs from the auditorium, and he was telling me that he plans to donate what amounts to a few million dollars worth of electronics and software to the school. I must have gotten too engrossed in the conversation, and I slipped.
There was no way that I was going to tell Tevin that two students had accidentally caused my fall. He wouldn't have seen anything but blood.
You have to be more careful, baby, was all that he said. I'm just glad that you and the baby are okay. I know that you were petrified when they told you. I hope you didn't drive recklessly on the way over here.
Floyd drove me. He's downstairs parking and calling Courtney to meet him over here.
It was my turn to frown.
Great. Tevin sighed. Please, try to be nice to him. It's not the time.
There's never a time to call someone on their bullshit. When Courtney gets here, it's going to take every ounce of self-control that I possess not to say anything. I haven't spoken to her since you told me that Floyd is a whore.
I haven't told him that I let that slip. We need to get through this without drama. If you feel like you have to tell Courtney about his dirt, can we at least wait until we get home?
Yeah, you're right. The day has been long enough already. Tevin wiped his right eye.
I was so scared. I don't think that I can handle losing another child.
God's will and mercy shall prevail. Today he spoke and gave us his blessings.
Tevin grinned and kissed me lightly on the lips.
I agree.
Chapter 29. Every love story is beautiful, but ours is my favorite. Unknown. I was on medical leave for a few weeks, against my will. I was never one to sit around doing nothing, and the boredom was killing me. As much as I was accustomed to watching daytime TV shows that were recorded on my DVR, watching them in real time irritated me for some reason. It meant that I had to sit through the commercials instead of skipping them, and for some reason, I hated that. Even when I was out of school for the summer, I rarely sat around during the day. I played the shows in the evening or late night when I was falling asleep. It was amusing to me that companies were still spending millions to produce commercials and purchase airtime on television shows. A lot of them were never actually watched. Either people skipped over them with their remote, flipped channels during the ads, or had their eyes glued to laptops, cell phones, or tablets with their attention diverted until the show started back up. Even the online ads that were placed before videos and shows online rarely got any attention. Companies really needed to realize that they had to take to social networking to really get any attention. They had to engage the consumers in contests or do something so different, amusing, or shocking
that everyone would share it on their pages or retweet it. I did catch up on some reading while I was laid up. I read several novels by Allison Hobbs, Cairo, and William Frederick Cooper, and a couple of self-help books. The greatest room in anyone's house is a room for improvement. But the books that I read the most of were parenting books. I definitely needed to know all about that. A mother? Wow. I was at the point in my life that I never thought it would happen for me. A mother and, if all went well, a wife. I was still apprehensive about setting a wedding date. I had progressed somewhat by sporting the ring that Tevin had purchased me. I needed to go shopping to purchase him a wedding band at some point. I planned to get him one that matched the color tone of mine. My ankle was still sore, so I stayed off my feet as much as possible. I was not in the best of shape since I got pregnant. I had not been going to the gym or doing any real form of exercise. I was becoming too lazy and complacent. As soon as I had Tevin Jr., I planned to reclaim my body and become fly all over again. I was scanning the internet one afternoon and ran across a blog written by a man. Rarely did I agree with much that men said about life. It was hard to relate, not being one. But this blog really caught my attention. It was written by a 30-year-old man who had been with his wife since he was 17 and had been married to her for 8 years. They had several children, and he was under the impression that he might lose her. He felt like he was not good enough for her, like she had outgrown him over the years. He had to admit that he might have tried to keep her pregnant in order to keep her in his life. They had 9 children. But while she normally would get herself back together, losing weight, reading, perfecting her hair and makeup, dressing good, smelling good, he had always felt that it was for his benefit. He sensed something was different this time, like she was doing it for herself, and that she would eventually leave him, even if it were not specifically for another man. He said that if she were single and he met her now, she never would have given him the time of day. That she would only be interested in men who had themselves more together, men who were on her level both physically and financially. He was making excuses for why he had not achieved more. Then it came down to the truth, slipped nonchalantly into the last paragraph. A couple of years before, he had cheated on her and she'd forgiven him. That was what it came down to. It was different this time around after childbirth. He didn't think she had actually gotten over his shit, and that caring so much for herself meant that she would likely feel like she deserved better than a man who would disrespect her like that. He was definitely onto something. I immediately thought of Courtney and what she would do if she found out that Floyd was cheating on her. Even though Courtney had elected to be a stay-at-home mother and wife, she was brilliant and attractive, and any man would be blessed to have her. She took care of herself, spiritually and physically, and her clothes, hair, and makeup were always on point. Courtney was the bomb.com, and she really did not deserve the shit that Floyd was doing to her. Ever since Tevin had slipped and told me the truth, I had fought a never-ending war within myself over whether or not to tell her the truth. The way I looked at it, the outcome had a few possibilities. Courtney could tell Floyd to kiss her ass and file for divorce immediately. Courtney could decide to stay and suggest marital counseling. Courtney could pretend like it never happened and stay for her kids, but never trust Floyd again. There was one other possibility. That Courtney could curse me out because she already knew, or at least suspected, that he had cheated once or was a habitual cheater. I decided that I would try to feel her out before I said anything. Then again, I was not one to play games. Shit, I wish he'd never told me. It was one of those your ears must have been burning moments. As soon as I finished that thought, my cell phone started ringing. It was Courtney. "Hey, girl," I said into the phone.
What you know good, she replied. Just calling to check on you. See if you needed anything. The kids and I can drop by and bring you whatever you need. Or I can get a sitter and come keep you company for a while.
Ah, you're so sweet, but I'm fine. Just watching a bunch of television, reading tons of stuff, and sleeping way too damn much.
There's no such thing as sleeping too much when you're pregnant.
What about eating too much? I'm eating like 10 men. We both laughed.
Girl, do you? Courtney said. That's part of the joy of pregnancy. You have a valid excuse to go buck wild and throw down 6 times a day if you want.
Yeah, but if I get too fat, Tevin is going to have to roll me out the door into the hospital when I go into labor. She giggled.
Talk about exaggerating. I bet you haven't put on 10 pounds yet.
Try 26.
26? Must be all tits and ass because it's damn sure not in your stomach.
You haven't seen me undressed. As soon as I get it back together, I'm going to have to do some serious shopping for maternity clothes. Or borrow some of yours.
Yes, yes, my shit is fly. I'll get some of it together and bring it over this weekend. I probably spent more on maternity clothes than my regular stuff.
Well, it's hard to feel cute when you look like a whale. But I'm sure you have some awesome stuff. Would love to use some, if you don't mind.
Of course I don't mind.
She paused long enough to tell one of the kids to stop switching channels on the television remote. They were constantly fighting over the TV in the family room, even though all 4 of them had their own sets in their bedrooms. Sibling rivalry was more than just a passé term.
Tell you what, why don't we all have dinner together on Friday? If you don't feel like going out, I can prepare something and bring it over.
I don't want to put you out like that.
Put me out? Girl, I cook at least 5 days a week for a gaggle of kids. Making dinner for you and Tevin and getting a break is exciting. We can all catch up.
When she said that, I closed my eyes and took in a deep breath. Say something, Gemistry. I tried to be creative right quick.
Feel her out.
Can I ask you a question, Courtney? I readjusted myself on the sofa to lie on my left side. About marriage.
Sure, shoot.
Tevin's been married before, but I haven't. I realize it's a huge commitment. But what are the biggest differences between dating or living together and marriage, at least in your opinion? She giggled.
That's a loaded question, and it highly depends on the 2 people in the marriage, what their expectations are, and what kind of family background they have.
I keep forgetting that you were a psych major. You're going deep.
Okay, I'll try to tone it down.
She chuckled.
All I'm saying is that everyone has different outlooks on what it means to make a commitment, and there are different reasons people get married in the first place. Some consider marriage to be a business arrangement. 2 people with like-minded goals agree to build a life together of the 3 P's.
3 P's?
Prosperity, procreation, and productivity.
Like I said, deep.
Others get married because they are so in love that they can't imagine ever living without each other. They want to grow old together, change each other's diapers and dentures, and be buried side by side. Then there are those who fall somewhere in the middle, ones that get married because they believe it is expected of them, because all of their friends are doing it, and because they come from a situation where their parents have been married for decades.
I see.
Oh, and I cannot forget the females who get married just so they won't be alone. Those kind want their men to be a different set of 3 P's. They want a priest, a provider, and a protector on 24-hour duty.
Yeah, I have quite a few friends who fall into that category.
They are afraid to do anything by themselves, I sighed.
But I have to add that when you start adding women into the mix who are abused, get pregnant young, and are economically at a disadvantage, that leads to a lot of other reasons.
True enough.
Tevin Jr. kicked, and I felt like the wind was being knocked out of me. I gasped.
Are you okay, Chemistry?
Courtney asked in a panic. I'm fine. The little one kicked.
might be upset about those enchiladas I ate for lunch.
Yeah, those can cause some serious indigestion.
What about women who share their husbands? I blurted out. I'm not talking about being polygamous and all that, but women who know their men are dicking other chicks down and don't say anything about it.
I could hear Courtney sucking her teeth through the phone. Shit, that could never be me. I wish Floyd would step out on me. It'd be the official date of his death. I can tell you that much right now. I don't see how any woman would sit by and let a man disrespect her like that. I'm not having it. Fuck that.
Welp, that answers that question, I thought.
Why'd you ask that? She inquired. I hope you don't think Tevin's cheating on you. It'll never happen. He's the most honest man I've ever met. He's a man of integrity, and I know for a fact that he never cheated on Estella.
I don't believe he ever cheated on her either.
You need to let that shit that happened with your former roommate go.
I have let it go. I trust Tevin. I was simply throwing out a topic out of boredom. I lied, trying not to make it seem like I was feeling her out. Sitting here day after day is not my friend. When Tevin comes home every evening, I almost feel like he's coming back from a 2-year deployment.
Wow.
Yes, it's bad. Friday night sounds good, though. I should be okay to go out. Heaven knows that I need to get out of here. The weather's still nice. It's going to get cold soon.
I know, right? The Old Farmer's Almanac is predicting another blizzard like we had at the beginning of 2010. Do you remember it?
Hell, who could forget Snowmageddon? We both chuckled. School was closed for 10 days in a row. It was a mess, I added. Next time they call for something like that, I'm catching the first thing smoking out of here for Florida or somewhere else warm.
Well, you can pack the kids and me in your suitcases, because we're leaving too. Never again. I can see why our men have to stay, but we can jet. Schools are going to be closed regardless.
Exactly.
The doorbell rang. I couldn't imagine who it might be. Maybe a delivery.
Courtney, let me holler at you later. There's someone at the door.
No problem. See you on Friday if I don't talk to you before then.
For sure. Love you, sis.
Love you, too.
Chapter 30. To love is to receive a glimpse of heaven. Karen Sunday.
Who is it? I asked at the same time that I glanced through the peephole in the front door.
Before she could answer, I took a step back. I recognized her from older photographs.
This cannot be happening.
Chemistry? My name is Estella Harris, she said from the other side of the door. I hesitated to open it. Then I decided that I was too damn old to be acting so damn immature. I opened the door.
Tevin's not here right now.
Actually, I came here to see you.
I looked at her like she was crazy. Her eyes dropped to my stomach and I felt guilty. Not sure why, but I did.
Do you mind if I come in?
There was no win-win answer to that question. If I said that I didn't mind, I was going to have to hold a conversation with her that I had neither anticipated taking place nor wanted to have. If I said that I did mind, she would think that I was jealous of her and throwing shade. Part of me wanted to know what she wanted to say. The other part asked myself, why would I give a damn what she wanted to say? There was no reason for me to dislike her. She had never done anything to me, and, as far as I knew, she had never done anything to Tevin either. Still, the mere thought that she was the woman that Tevin had once loved and professed his love for like he was now doing with me was unnerving. The fact that he had planted his seed in her numerous times was almost too much. Almost. I moved aside.
Come in.
Thank you.
Estella entered and walked into the living room as I shut the door. I followed her and pointed to the sofa. Please, have a seat. She sat and scanned the room. Lovely house. I've never actually been here before.
Oh, I figured you had been. I sat in the armchair. He's had this place for a while.
I've had the address to forward his mail and all, but no, I've never actually been here.
He purchased this house after our divorce was...
final, I said, finishing her sentence for her.
I don't mean to sound rude, but why exactly are you here?
Tevin called me last week.
Oh? Yes, I'm jealous, I thought.
It's not what you might imagine, she quickly stated, sensing that I was wondering what the fuck he'd call her for.
He called me to ask me for advice.
Are you for real? I thought.
He wanted my help in trying to convince you to marry him.
I frowned. Being that we've never met a day in our lives, what made him think that you could give him that type of advice?
I get what you're saying, but I also understood where he was coming from. Tevin doesn't have a lot of people to open up to, and let's face it, if he were to discuss his true feelings with most men, they'd call him a pussy or weak and tell him to man up.
I nodded. She had a valid point. Men were taught to hide their emotions a lot, and other men did tend to ridicule them for expressing themselves. It was part of the man code to act hard at all times, right along with never letting them see you cry, and if you are caught doing some shit you have no business doing, deny, deny, deny.
Estella, I appreciate you coming over here, but I don't feel comfortable discussing my relationship with Tevin with you. You're his ex-wife, and that means that at some point, you were his world. I'm not trying to take your place, but I don't want you interjecting your opinions either.
There's no reason for us to get to know each other, hang out, or trade fairy tales. You're in his past, and from what he told me, you're engaged, maybe even married by now, and you've moved on. It would be different if the two of you had
Shit, I thought.
The expression on her face changed.
I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to...
Understood, Gemistry. I get your point. If we had children together, you and I would have no other option but to get along. And you're right. I am his past, and I have no intention of being in constant communication with Tevin, any more than he plans on doing that with me. We've only spoken twice in the past 6 months. Prior to that, I hadn't spoken to him in years.
I see.
We don't have to discuss your business. You can merely listen. We stared at each other for a few minutes. She was really an attractive and well-put-together woman, and she seemed genuine. Suddenly, sadness swept over me. I could see why Tevin had married her, and how they were a cute couple that had been ripped apart by tragedy after tragedy. But I had to admit that I was glad that their marriage did not last. If it had, Tevin and I would have never met.
Sure, I'll hear you out, I said. I'm sure you know more about the inner workings of Tevin's mind than most people, even me.
Tevin loves you, and it is quite upsetting to him for his son to be born out of wedlock. For a lot of men these days, they could not care less, but he's different. He has a core value system, and this entire situation is going against it. I'm surprised he even agreed to live together prior to marriage.
He insisted on it, I stated defensively. I had my own place, but he wanted me here with him. I explained to him that I wasn't ready for marriage. I held out my hand so she could see the ring. She also had on one, but I refused to ask if she was remarried yet. Then I recalled her saying that her name was Estella Harris at the door. She had not tied the knot yet.
It doesn't mean that I don't plan on doing it. That's why I have this on. But I want to wait.
Wait for?
None of your damn business, I thought.
I'm not trying to dredge up any painful memories for you, so I prefer to bypass that question, Estella.
She squinted, analyzing what I had said. I hated when people outthought a thinker like me.
Let me take a shot in the dark, she said. You're afraid you might lose a baby, and you don't want Tevin to end up in another toxic marriage behind it?
Actually, I almost lost the baby already. I had an accident.
He told me.
But yes, even prior to then, the thought definitely crossed my mind. I wanted to make it through my second trimester first. Is that a crime?
No, but I assume you're almost there.
Almost.
Then I guess you really didn't need me to come over here after all, she said, and then grinned uncomfortably.
You could have saved the trip.
We both sat there looking at each other.
I'm sorry, I'm being rude, I stated after a pregnant pause. Would you like something to drink?
No, but thank you, she said. I have to say that I'm delighted Tevin found you. He deserves to be happy.
So do you, I replied, shifting in my chair.
She stared at my stomach. He told me that it's a boy.
Yes, we plan to name him Tevin Jr.
Of course. He deserves that, too. There are times when I wish that things could have been different, but I wasn't in a stable frame of mind after the miscarriages. I shut down. I became a phantom. Tevin was in a marriage by himself. He hung in there. He never would have left me on his own. We both realized that. It wasn't in his nature. So I filed for divorce and set him free. I've matured a lot now. The old me could have never sat here across from you, the woman he loves now, pleading for you to marry him.
We all evolve as we age, I replied. The old me never would have answered the door if my man's ex-anything came knocking on it. But the seasoned me realizes that both Tevin and I have a past. If he ran across one of the men that I used to be with, I'd hope that they could act like grown men and not boys.
Tevin loves me and only me. I'm convinced of that. He will always carry feelings for you, but they're not the same.
I couldn't believe that I was now preaching everything that Tevin had been trying to convince me of all along.
No, they are not the same, Estella said. I'm in love with another man, engaged to be married in a few months.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I never thought I'd open up to someone else. I had to find a man who didn't want nor expect me to bear children.
She lowered her eyes.
I never told Tevin this, and he still doesn't know. I had my tubes tied after my last miscarriage. I couldn't go through that again. Not ever.
I honestly don't blame you. You did what you felt you had to do.
But he does know you tied your tubes.
Estella looked up at me, stunned.
But how?
I shrugged. I'm not sure, but he definitely knows. He told me that you'd done it.
I should have known that he'd figure it out.
She sighed and then added,
that was one of the main reasons that I decided to divorce him. It was a lie, a deception, and I could not face him every day knowing what I had done. Nor could I confess what I had done, not back then.
I understand.
He already felt robbed. Telling him that I had removed any chance of him ever fathering a child with me would have killed him.
Well, everything happens for a reason. We'll all be fine, and now you can stop worrying about deceiving him, since he already knew. Life goes on, and every day is a gift. Truly, it is.
Estella stood up, and so did I. She gathered her purse and keys. I'm glad that we could share this brief encounter together. Thank you for even letting me in the door.
I'll tell Tevin that you came by, I said.
She was walking toward the foyer and froze, then turned back to me. I'm not going to encourage or discourage you from telling him that I was here. He doesn't know. I took it upon myself to come and speak with you. He was only asking for advice, not for me to contact you.
I nodded. I see.
I wish the two of you nothing but a happy, long life together, and many, many more kids. I giggled.
I don't know about all that. I'm not a spring chicken. This one pregnancy is a chore.
We walked to the front door together and I opened it. She was about to walk out without saying anything.
Estella, thanks for coming to see me. Even though my first inclination was to be upset about it, this has actually been intriguing. Getting to meet you, even for a few moments, gives me a lot of insight into Tevin.
Good.
And I'm glad we met as well. It gives me peace to know that he's in such wonderful hands now.
I don't know what inspired me to do it, but I hugged her. Tight.
She hugged me back. When we let go of the embrace, she smiled and walked away to her car.
Chapter 31. Everyone has their own reasons for waking up in the morning. Mine is you. Unknown.
Jeez, I was horny all the time. Tevin was horny as well, but being overly cautious when it came to having sex with me. It was driving me crazy, so I would take matters into my own hands. I decided not to mention Estella coming by. It would have solved nothing, and he would have been worried about my feelings. I was actually cool with the entire thing, which shocked even me. In many ways, it had helped to solidify my decision to eventually get married. Courtney and Floyd had joined us for dinner that Friday night at the Old Ebbett Grill on 15th Street, within walking distance of the White House. It was amazing how D.C. had gone through a massive gentrification. When I was a child, it was truly the Chocolate City. Now it was about 50% African American, 40% Caucasian, and the rest was made up of Hispanics, Asians, and others. Areas that used to be infamous for gang activity were now crowded with nightlife, new hangouts, and people out mingling way into the wee hours of the morning without any fear for their safety. The reputation had changed for the better. It had evolved. The world had evolved, though. We had our first African-American president in office. When it became clear that Senator Barack Obama had an actual chance of winning, I had rushed to have anything to do with his campaign. It was an exciting time, and his wife Michelle was my idol. Everything about her was stylish, sophisticated, and she clearly was a unique, incredible woman. President Obama had won his second term, and it also made one thing clear. Even though he had won both elections by incredible, unquestionable margins, racism was still alive and well in the United States. In my opinion, no other POTUS had ever been disrespected or talked down upon in recent history as he was. At least, not to my recollection. But still, he stood strong, confident, and assured. A spectacular role model for young men of all races, who ensured them that having the audacity to hope could actually pay off in the end. That was what I admired about him the most. He believed that he could do it, and that was half the battle. Since we were so close to the White House, we partially discussed that topic over dinner. Tevin was not big on talking politics, but Floyd and I were, and Courtney was neutral. Hillary's going to win in 2016, I said with much confidence.
I don't know about all of that, Floyd replied. We don't need a woman running this country. Too much at stake.
That's my male chauvinist husband, Courtney joked as she sliced into her ribeye with a steak knife.
Floyd, you can miss me with all that, I said. Let's have the same discussion after she wins.
Biden will be here in the primary, Floyd added, and you can take that to the bank.
Tevin smirked. We sure have a lot of fortune tellers at this table.
I tapped Tevin lightly on the arm and then picked up a forkful of my trout parmesan.
It's not being a seer, baby. It's common sense. It's Hillary all the way, boo.
Women have a place in this world. That is it and that is all, Floyd stated with much sarcasm. Accept your role and everything is all good.
He was getting on my last fucking nerve, rat bastard.